In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. The fifth sorrow of Mary, the death of Jesus. We meditate on the greatest loss in human history, experienced by its greatest persons, one human and the other divine. Mary, with her immaculate heart so sensitive and so aware of the great injustice, the travesty of the death of her only son. And Jesus, God's only begotten, the longed-for Messiah, the most innocent person ever put to death. We meditate on loss, an overwhelming human experience, one that unites all of us here tonight and all of us in this world. None of us have suffered the loss that our Blessed Mother has. Even so, we've had a taste, and so we do have that in common with her. Different types of loss. Material loss, they're not all the same. A young couple I knew just married, beginning their life together, in a house fire, they lost everything. It's just a building, but there were many things that had sentimental value. Pictures and gifts from that wedding. Things that they would never have. Material loss is one type. There are others, physical loss. The loss of health when we've been told that we have a terminal illness, overwhelming the grief that can come. The summer of 2002, when St. John Paul II was informed that he would no longer walk under his own power. He experienced a dark night. He went into a lot of discouragement, but he prayed and God gave him the grace to accept and even to embrace that loss. Psychological, emotional loss, especially when it's in our own family, our friends, when there's betrayal, division. So much hurt that we experience. So many things that only God can heal and reconcile. And so he came into this world to unite heaven and earth, to give his life as a ransom. And finally, the greatest loss would be spiritual. The loss of our innocence through sin. And all of the terrible depression, shame, and guilt that come with it. The things that pull us down. And if not repented of, lead us to complicity, even things like malice and corruption. Sometimes we are under misunderstanding the nature of loss. We might compare them to say that, well, the material losses are just as devastating as the spiritual. And that just would not be true. Sometimes we'll say a cigarette is more dangerous than a cell phone. But in the spiritual life, we know they're not all to be compared. Loss is a part of the human condition now. It came into the world with sin. And we may have something in common with the Blessed Virgin Mary. But there is one element that she handles better than anyone. It's what she does with that loss that sets her apart. You and I, we have a tendency that there's the fight or flight mode. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, the first response or visceral reaction was to run and hide. And God said, "Where are you?" They were ashamed because of their sinfulness. Trust had been broken. And only in Christ on his cross could it be healed again. And then, of course, it's not just flight, but fight. They turn on each other. "She gave it to me. I only ate it because she did it first." They turn, and sin brings with it division and sometimes so much fear. This is where Mary is unique in salvation history. Because when it came to loss, the loss of her only son on the cross, she doesn't fight it and she doesn't run from it. She accepts it. It would have been far easier for her to die for him than to watch him die knowing that he was utterly innocent. Her heart was in that boy and in that man who was God's son. And so she stands by that cross. She refuses to run, as easy as it might be. And so many of us, we know exactly that tendency and that temptation. To give a couple of illustrations, one for the children here present, comes from Ellen Montgomery. She wrote Anne of Green Gables. The last of the 9 books is titled Rilla of Ingleby. It's really a story about her as the youngest, but her 2 brothers go off to World War I. It's a tough story about loss, about fear, about the great train wreck that sin brought into our world. As the boys go, the one boy, Jimmy, has his pet dog. The dog follows him down to the train station. The boys get on the train, and the dog stays there. Weeks become months, become years. The one boy, he dies in the war. The other is missing in action. The dog gets older and more arthritic. And one day, 3 years later, a stranger gets off the train. But he's not a stranger to the dog who has been waiting for him all those years. This is a sign of the spiritual life. Fidelity at the cross, to wait and to see, not to give up, not to abandon, not to say that this is hopeless, it cannot be redeemed. Another example comes from our friend Blessed von Galen, the Lion of Munster, one of the first and few to speak out against Adolf Hitler. He compared the church and Mary and you and me to an anvil. An anvil is something they use, the blacksmiths use to forge objects upon it. It's so hard that you can shatter a hammerhead on it. And listen to what the great bishop had to say about the church, about Mary, an image of the church, about what you and I are to be through grace. At this moment, we are the anvil rather than the hammer. Other men, strangers, renegades are hammering us. The anvil cannot and need not strike back. It must only be firm, only hard. However hard the hammer strikes, the anvil stands firmly and silently in place and will long continue to shape the objects forged upon it. If it is sufficiently tough and firm and hard, the anvil will last longer than the hammer. Loss is something we all endure, not all the same way. And our tendency is to run or to try to change the narrative, to do anything we can to escape it. What we do when there's fear is an overwhelming thing. And Mary, do not be afraid, Mary. She stays at the cross for all of the human race. She's the one with the greatest faith, the greatest courage, the greatest trust. Tonight, as we honor her and we worship the God who made her, we prepare to imitate her, to say yes to the Lord. That means to all the crosses in whatever form they come, in whatever way, whatever temptation, whatever trial we must pass through, so as to become holy, to become one with God. Loss unites us. But the old hymn, the Stabat Mater, is illustrious of what Mary, what made her unique. Stabat, standing, staying, waiting, trusting. This is what makes her a towering saint, the mother of God and our mother too. I'll end with just one verse.
At the cross her station keeping, stood the mournful mother weeping. Close to Jesus, to the last.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.